Two Guys, One Reel podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Two Guys, One Reel podcast with your host Anthony.
And I'm Kevin.
Awesome. And here we are doing our post-theater review of Sinners. Kevin, tell us about Sinners.
All right, well, Sinners is based in 1930s and is based in Mississippi, where two twins who come from Chicago, they had their running in Chicago, and they come back to their hometown in Mississippi to restart, basically.
Yep.
And so they come and they just want to restart and make some money, and then things go from there where a greater evil finds them and they have bigger challenges.
So, like, they're basically running from something.
Yes.
Yeah. And so what we gathered pretty quickly was, with the little homage that they made to the fact that they'd served in World War One and they'd worked in the Al Capone rackets. So when they came to town, they had something to prove.
Yep. And I think they stole money from gangsters in Chicago.
And alcohol.
Yes. Then they brought it down there where they brought it back to Mississippi where they just want to restart. And they buy a sawmill. And then at the sawmill, things happen.
Things go downhill very quickly.
Very much. All right. Well, we talk about the characters. So yeah. Who should we talk about first?
Well, let's talk about the twins.
All right. So we got Smoke and Stack.
All right. Played masterfully by Michael B. Jordan.
Very well done.
And so they're very different people. So, and Michael B. Jordan, obviously, to develop both characters' personalities and their idiosyncrasies, the little differences in both of them, it's just amazing acting. And he's done it amazingly well. Both characters have links to tragic backgrounds. So if you want to start us with Smoke, Kev, that would be great.
Yes, Smoke. Smoke, he has a, I don't want to call it strange girlfriend, or they just has a partner named Annie, and they have had, they must have had something happen where their daughter died of unknown cause. I don't know what it was. I don't think they explained it, but Annie herself is into rituals. She likes the she's into spiritual and ritual things. And we got Stack, who has an ex-girlfriend named Mary.
Yep.
And she comes back to try to reunite with Stack, and Stack's like, no, he doesn't want anything to do with her at the moment.
Yeah, when we first meet her character, played by Hayley Steinfeld.
Yes, very well done too.
Yeah, she's coming to town and she's trying to find him, and it's like she tracked them down.
Yeah.
And so at first, when you're watching it, you're not understanding the conflict. You're understanding the reasoning why these two guys, who, again, from the get-go, have a lot to prove, and trying to establish themselves, basically pushing these women away.
Oh, 100%. That's their ways of protecting them, they felt.
Yeah, that's right. And see, these guys come to town and they buy the sawmill because they want to set up a hangout, like for music, for food, for dancing. They want to have what they had back in Chicago.
That's right. And they named it the Duke Bar.
That's right. And that's where we are then introduced to Sammy, as they call him, Preacher Boy.
That is right. So Sammy is played by Miles Keaton. This is his first film debut.
What a debut.
And he is the nephew to...
Of the boys.
Of Smoke and Stack.
That's right.
And Sammy, he is into his blues. He loves playing guitar.
Yep.
And that's where the real story is with Sammy and his ability to play very wonderful and beautiful blues music.
And there's a real power in both his guitar and in his voice.
100%.
And his father is the preacher. And he warns him that that guitar will lead him to the devil.
And sure enough, that's when we run into Remick.
Played by Jack O'Connell.
And Remick is an Irish immigrant. When we run into Remick, he's being chased by, I think it's pronounced the Choctaws.
Yeah, the American Indians.
Yes.
Yeah, and I remarked to Kev that it was like, when we first saw him, it was like he was jumping into the screen. So he was definitely being pursued by these American Indians, and he happens upon this house and a couple there with a gun aimed at him, and he's begging them to let him in. And next thing, the American Indians knock on the door and try to find him.
And they were turned away by the couple who decided to shelter him.
Obviously, their misfortune, because that's where we find that Remick is the devil personified. and he basically kills them and makes them become part of his arm, like a little clan, as you might call it, because Remick is a vampire.
So basically from the trailers that you would have seen for this movie, that you would have gathered, it is based that vampires will be involved.
But it's not your slapstick jokey vampires or nothing. No. Like nothing like Twilight. This is, you know, deadly vampires that are on a mission.
This is basically a like a very true telling of vampires, I feel.
Yeah.
It sticks very close to the lore of vampires in a very specific way.
Mm-hmm. They're very deadly, very dangerous, and they come with a smile.
That's right. They deceive and charm.
That's right. Before they finally use their evil to kill people and recruit them as part of their clan. And there's homages to evil in all sorts of ways in this movie, peppered throughout the film from start to finish. But with Remick, you know, he really tries to get the better of our main characters multiple times. And the brothers, they're resistant to anyone else stepping foot on what they consider their territory.
Oh, 100%. And they will do anything they can to save their way of making money.
That's right.
And make a better living for themselves.
Yeah, and that's where we see their masterful networking and resourcefulness. And in setting up the Duke joint, they recruit a lot of people who, when they return to town, you can see that these brothers have a big name and a big shadow. And the people who then basically decide to help the brothers, they've had obviously a previous relationship with them and a connection to them. And so it's these people who become central to the goings on at the Duke joint.
Yep, that is right. And they, everyone knows, it's a small town. Everyone knows who they are. They grew up together. They all grew up together. And it's a sense of family.
That's right. So like obviously the main focus as well is they want music to be front and center of their place. And so with music, you know, they go recruiting to try and find classic or, you know, talented musicians.
Yep, that's what they do. And they run into another character as well, called Delta Slim, played by Delroy Lindo.
Yep, and he's a very funny character. And he's skeptical at first because, you know, he reckons he can get good money elsewhere. And then the boys, they pull out wads of cash and promises of alcohol to his heart's content if he comes and plays with them. And then our young hero, Sammy, he whips out his guitar and his talented voice and convinces Delta Slim to come and play his harmonica and to basically be a presence at the Duke Gym.
That's right. And it's played masterfully. All these characters come together and they play a very good role within this movie. Like everything is very well put together. And everything comes together in a way that is very visual, audibly as well. Like the music in this is a standout in this movie. Like the main thing of this movie is the music, I feel. So,
but with, you also see how deadly serious these brothers are.
With all that said, with the movie, it is very fantastic and it's highly worth your time. This movie has a budget of $90 million,
mm-hmm.
which I think is pretty decent budget.
Definitely.
And it does show. It does show. And I hope it does make its money back and more.
Yeah, it's getting good reviews, Kev, worldwide. You know, obviously mixed reviews from critics, but from audience talkback is basically saying that this is another one, a knockout of the park by Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan. And, you know, another great collaboration between the two. And then the fact that they've been able to assemble such a cast, it was a really good film.
That's right. And like, there's not much more. Like, we'll go into our pros and cons about it. So I'll start my pros. Like, it's, like I said, visually, very visually appealing. Acting was very solid. I didn't feel like it lacked too much. The downsides that I felt were sometimes with probably like the gore element was a bit lacking in certain areas. But it doesn't take away from the movie.
Yeah.
And I feel that's really great. If it doesn't do that, then it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And what are your thoughts? What are your pros and cons, Anthony?
Yeah, I thought there were some parts with the blood and that, like a bit exaggerated. like, and I spoke about how sometimes it seemed like a bit of overacting, but also I think the good outweighs the bad with this film, because like I've always said too that the music is a great character in this film, and there were parts where I know both of us were both gripped to our seat just enjoying the music sequences. And but I loved how the cinematography was done on this film, the colors, how they lit the sets, and how the Duke joint was basically, yeah, it was jumping. And then like, and even when they were shooting scenes outside, you know, and how they lit up, you know, the scenes, it was really like just visually stunning to me. And I liked how, because obviously this film is centered after slavery and around plantations, and it showed obviously people were, you know, going through poverty, like the Great Depression. And so for them to succeed was a major, major thing. And especially with their criminal connections working for Al Capone, the fact that they've come and been able to establish it. And I remarked as well that in such a short amount of time, like I kept thinking how the day just seemed to go on and on. Like time just, you know, was obviously it was a very long day, and for them to pull it all together. And it's like they were very, very resourceful. Yeah. And then obviously you figure that because they were soldiers, you know, they are very good planners and very good tacticians and very good at, you know, putting stuff together. But then you see the characters that are around them, they really bring the story to, they really make the story realistic. If that makes sense. Like there's no scenes, or there's no way anywhere in this movie where you're like, well, you know, what's going on there? Even though some parts kind of dragged on a little bit, but then later on you realize why they put those points in.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
And with that said, with this being an American period supernatural horror film, do you classify it as a horror, or is just more of a thriller, supernatural thriller?
I reckon supernatural is a great way to put it. Yeah, it's like very dark humor. Yeah, you'd never call it a full horror, but it's on the threshold, but very supernatural for sure.
That's right, and I agree with that. Like I feel like it holds up supernatural theme of the vampires and the way things go on.
100%.
So this is a fantastic movie, as we both stated, and previous episode of the Raw, coming out of the cinema experience with it, I gave it a 9 out of 10 popcorn buckets. I still keep that rating because I feel like it holds up. And even talking about it now, it feels exactly the same. Like, I would watch this again pretty soon. Like, it's the sort of movie that I feel like I can go, I'm happy to go watch again and give my time to it again. Yeah, what about you?
Very much so. I agree with you as well. 9 out of 10 popcorn buckets. Very enjoyable. Definitely rewatchable.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to our deep dive. And if you want to stick around, we're going about to do spoilers. But if not, please go see this movie in theaters. It is worth your time. Ryan did a very good job with this, and his partnership with Michael B. Jordan just stands out. So very well done. Any other thoughts, Anthony?
Let's kick right into the spoilers, mate.
All right, here we go.
All right, Kev. So kick us off.
All right. Well, spoilers. Some of the early spoilers we can talk about pretty quick is about the main protagonist. Remick.
Yeah.
So when you first see him, he's got smoke coming off him and all that. Mm-hmm. And if you put two and two together, I'm pretty sure you can catch on to it pretty well that he's a vampire pretty quickly before his reveal. But also a thing with this movie is the invitation that they need to get into places, which is a very key thing for vampires.
Part of their manipulation.
Yeah, 100%. And it holds well throughout this movie. As you can tell, when other characters either change, they act differently and they need those invitations. And it's well done for how other characters pick up on it.
That's right. Yeah.
Another spoiler we could probably really talk about would be the landowner where they buy the juke bar. Well, this sawmill they turn into the juke bar from the character Hogwood. He is a Ku Klux Klan leader. Not exactly that, but it's a Klan leader. That's, you know, they're against the sort of people.
Yeah, basically setting up the brothers by selling them the sawmill. They basically set them up to come back and try and kill them all. And
yeah, the next morning.
Yeah, and that's what you find out. Throughout the film, you find out that it's all just part of a plan. And they were set up for failure.
Yeah, from the beginning. And it's pretty well done. Like, Remick tells the twins this, well, tells Smoke,
yes,
that this is going to happen regardless. They're going to die no matter what. Moving on to another spoiler we could probably talk about is the mid-credit scene.
Oh yeah, so again, another great scene where obviously we've seen our hero Sammy has been able to live out his life 60 years after the events of the movie. And then, you know, because obviously by that point Mary and Stack are believed dead, because when sunrise hit and we saw all the vampires disappear, it was believed that that was the end of them. And because throughout this film there's an element of time travel, there's an element of, like, as it's a supernatural feel as well. So basically our hero has been allowed to live out his life, and then he's basically approached by someone working at the bar and said that, you know, there's someone here to see you. And so he goes to,
and lo and behold,
it is 1990s era Mary and Stack.
That's right, they come in with a nice cool getup, and Stack is dressed like the French Prince of Bel-Air.
That's right, yep,
very bright and vibrant. And they speak to Sammy and tell him that they're his biggest fan, and that they know he doesn't have long to live, and they ask him if they want to join them.
Yeah, they offer him eternity and he shuts them away.
Which is very good that they reciprocate that and they just let him play his one last song for them.
That's right. And yeah, I thought it was really good because they're like, play one last song for us. So he does that and they leave him be.
That's right. And it's well done.
Yeah. And so, like, it was a very, very nice ending to the film.
And it's very, it all comes together very well at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it with the name Sinners, like, everyone's a sinner in the movie.
That's right.
And that's what's really good about it. So no one's really the good guy.
That's right, because everyone's a sinner, because it's like you said with the brothers, they've come back from Chicago running from their problems. But then you find the deeper meaning behind why they did, where you find that Smoke, you know, he returns to Mississippi and he immediately goes to find his baby's grave, and his estranged relationship with Annie comes to bear, and obviously they're both gone through that process together, and you know there's a deep love there. Well, the same thing is with Stack and Mary, and both of them are reluctant to reconcile with these women, but it's not because they don't love them, but it's because they feel it's better for them
to protect them and keep them safe as much possible no matter what.
And so that's when you realize there's a real emotion with all these characters. You know, even with Remy, you understand that the reason why he's seeking such power and wants to basically recruit people by killing them is because he wants to get back what he lost. Because
he wants family.
That's right. He wants family. But it's also because he's basically been going through this for generations. And so it's Sammy's power through his guitar and his voice that really attracts him. And it ends up being his undoing.
That's right. To flow too close to the sun.
That's right. That's right. So literally.
Yeah, that's right. Figuratively and literally. All right, guys. Thank you for sticking with us for the deep dive. And if you made it this far, please give us a like. Tell us what you think. And tell us what movie you're actually looking forward to coming up.
That's right, guys. Please review us on Spotify. Give us a comment, a like and subscribe on YouTube, and just stay with us because we're going to keep growing. We're going to keep getting better, and we look forward to the next one.
Yep, this is a marathon, not a sprint.
Exactly right.
All right, guys. With all that said, thank you, and we will see you in the next one.
Catch you guys.